Well, it's quite interesting that we move from the birth of Christ to the resurrection history. I mean, to his death. It's quite just like a short time. From yesterday only, we talked about his birth. And also today we turn to Luke 18. And simply because we were going through the book of the Gospel of Luke, and so we paused a little bit, and we went back to the early chapters, and now we are back to chapter 18 from where we left things before. But don't be surprised, because when Jesus was brought before the kings, Agrippa's, and he was asked, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he said, "Oh, you have said that." And he said, "Actually, I was born to be the king." So he was born to be the king. And today we want to look at what Jesus Christ has been to us and is to us and will always be to us. Well, in chapter 8, verse 31 to verse 34, these are four verses. These are the ones that I'm going to focus on. And is the predictions of his death and his resurrection. Jesus talking about his death. He was not fearful of his death, actually. So he was predicting his death, telling his disciples, because he took them aside, and he was telling them about his death as they were going up to Jerusalem. He's a pilgrim. So he was going up to Jerusalem to be crucified. And he will describe what will happen to him. Exactly. And it will be fulfilled. And later on, we will be told, and I got all the verses here, we will not go through them all, but I will mention them in passing. You can check them for yourself. But let us see Jesus talking about his death and what is his death and his resurrection bring to us. Why it is so important for us to listen to what Jesus has said. Well, his death and resurrection was to fulfill God's plans for us. Well, today you are sitting here and you believe as a believer that God has plans for you. He got his plans for you. But if you don't believe this, that God has plans for you, but you do have your own plans and they are not good. But for us who have come to faith, we know it is God's plans are good for us. They keep us safe, you see, in his will, keeps us under his power, his protection, his provision, because he got the power to change the events around us to bless us. And that is why his plans are better. Well, look, not just better, are the best. Because we know our estates. Without God's plan, we are lost. Well, when Adam did that, he left. He rebels against God's plans, so he fell into sin, and the whole humanity was in trouble. And that is how we came under the judgment of God, because sin came to the Romans tells us 5, verse 12. Sin came into the world through one man. And sin also will be lifted up through one man, and that is the man Jesus Christ. And now Jesus is telling his disciple that we are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man is what he's telling them. We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. So we can say that the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ fulfilled the sovereign plan of God in the scriptures. Well, the scriptures, I was going to talk a lot about the scriptures. Well, Jesus says, calls himself the Son of Man. The title that is, he prefers so much, he loved this title. It's unlike the Son of God and also the Savior. No, this title, he is the only one who uses it. Whenever you find this title in the Bible, is from his lips. And this titles You may think like Son of Man is not like Son of God, but actually the Son of Man in the Bible is linked to his authority, his humility, his suffering, and glory. I can go through this one to show you where he said that. In his conversation with Nathanael, he said to him, because he said, I saw you from a distance, you are a true Israelite. And then this man said, how did you know that? And he said, do you believe because I said this? That is in John chapter 1, verse 51. He said, you will see even something glorious than that. You will see heavens opened and the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. He used the Son of Man. So what is that? The Son of Man linking heaven and the earth. So Jesus now, he said, I, the Son of Man, all that has been written in the Bible about me is going to be fulfilled. And I will tell you in a minute why the fulfillment of all that has been written about the Son of Man is so significant and very important for us. So Jesus said to his disciples, we are going and this is what is going to happen to me. And this is for our redemption. This is for our deliverance and for our salvation. Well, you may say to me how the suffering and the ultimate death of Jesus Christ could possibly fulfill God's plan for our redemption or salvation. As I mentioned, do you not know? Have you not heard in Ezekiel that the soul that sins shall die? That is in Ezekiel 18, verse 20. Those who have fallen short of God's glory, they deserve only death. And that is God's justice. Because he is God, he is a holy God. He says in his word that whoever sins shall die. And God must be just to himself before he could be just with us. If God is not just with himself, he wouldn't be just with us. Just let us bear this. Because he keeps his promises, he keeps his holiness, he keeps his authority to himself. So he must act for his good pleasure. God doesn't act to please us. He acts to please himself. Because he is God, he has created everything. And that is why he's demanding worship and submission. Because he is God. He got the power to destroy. He got the power to raise up, to bring life. He got the power to protect and to bring even from the dead. He got the power to remake us, to recreate us. He got the power to make us a royal diadem in his hands. He got the power to transform us into his likeness in love and truth and purity and wisdom and to unite us with him to the point that he will delight us. You see, because he calls us to delight in him, as Psalm 27 says, delights in the Lord your God, and he will give you the souls of your heart. And perhaps you should have only one question, soul, the soul of your heart, that is the desire of your heart. You see, so it should be just to be with Jesus, isn't it? And to gaze upon his glory. Well, if God's plans are not fulfilled, we will be lost. We will be condemned to death. And Jesus is saying he was preparing his disciple for this. He was just telling them that this move I'm making, because for them was not good. They were going to lose their leader. They were going to lose the one who I wouldn't want to say entertain them, but they marvel at his deeds, at his work, as he went about giving sight to the blind, raising the dead, even through his name only. Peter and John will raise people from their dead. Perhaps you are wondering why today you are not raising people from their dead. I kind of speculate. I don't know. But perhaps we need to find out ourselves why it's so. Perhaps we don't believe that you can raise up a dead person. Perhaps this is the reason. But if you believe blindly, because we are called to walk by sight, by faith, isn't it? But not by sight, isn't it? If we walk by sight, we will just pass by the dead people and we wouldn't want even to mention that they can come to life. Someone mentally retarded. Perhaps you just want to go to a psychiatric and psychiatrist and then other things. But we wouldn't just believe that the one who has created them can really change them, can bring them life, can give them wholeness and health, and can be a sound mind, you see. And then you would say, is this not the person, the born blind? People saw him like finding his way and walking. Well, Jesus said he must go, because God, he wants to show mercy. He must show mercy because he cannot let sin go without being punished. That is God. He must punish sin. That is a way to show mercy, to rescue us. That is why he gave promises in the Old Testament about Jesus, the Messiah. So to keep us looking to his coming. Because, you know, with what is wrong with religion? The religion has no promises, isn't it? No, has no promises in the person of Christ. All that you do, you follow things yourself. Things that can never achieve anything, because they are not a fulfillment of a promise from God. But Jesus himself, he says, we are going, and all that has been written about me. What is written about Jesus? Well, the Old Testament is full of the promises. And actually, the Old Testament is all about Jesus. The Old Testament, just even from the beginning to the end. That is why he said, I am the beginning and the end. The Alpha and the Omega, we sang about. He was the creator there. And also, he was the promised Messiah from the very beginning, when we fell into sin. But because we don't have time, I wish we can sit here to the end of the day. But we can't do that. But let me go back to the readings that we have chosen for this very purpose, to see what are the direct, really scriptures that are written about Christ, and he is speaking about them. You see? Because in other places he would refer to himself as the manna who came from heaven and fed the people of Israel. I am the one here. But today he's saying, I am the suffering servant spoken of in Isaiah from 42 all the way up to 53. And I'm just going to just go back briefly to Isaiah 52. And from verses 13. See, my servant will act wisely. That is God speaking about his son. The servant of God, Jesus Christ, coming to serve his Father in heaven. To fulfill his promises for the world he has created. My servant will act wisely. He will go to Jerusalem. He will not change his direction. He will submit to the plans I have for the world, to vindicate my character as God who is true and who is faithful to his promises. And now the time has come. His fulfilling. He said he will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Exalted in the way that he is the only anointed one to go all the way to the cross and to deliver us. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured, because he says here, all that was written, that he will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will spit on him, flog him, and kill him. So he will spring for what they were not told they will see, because he, Jesus Christ, he will have no beauty, Isaiah tells us, or majesty to attract us to him. When he was being mistreated, when he was beaten, and people despised him, and they wouldn't want him to do anything with him. Because as he was doing this, the Bible says he was doing this for us. He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. That was what he was doing. He was suffering in our place. He's our substitute. So he took upon himself our punishment. That is the justice of God in your place. You know, like we heard a lot of stories about people going to jail in the place of other people as a ransom, you see, as a substitute. And it's still justice is fulfilled because that the justice is that there must be someone to serve really the sentence that deserved that punishment. And God is just. He had to punish that. Otherwise, you and I, we will have to go through what Jesus went through. But Jesus took it upon himself. He carried our sorrows. He carried our sorrows. He was beaten. He was pierced for our transgressions, verse 5. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. See, the punishment that brought us peace. So God said, yes. God was pleased with Jesus taking all the punishment we deserve ourselves so that we will not be punished, so that we can have peace with God after we have become his enemies. So this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, this is what was written about me. It was not about anyone else. This happened to fulfill all that has been written about me. And not only that. So when he was going, he voluntarily went to the cross and he faced all the cruelty of man, and he himself became the criminal when we ourselves deserve to be judged as criminals. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And verse 6 would say, and 4 and 7, he was oppressed and afflicted. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep for her shears. That was for you and for me. And Jesus saying, all this is going to be fulfilled on as we go to Jerusalem, telling his disciples. Well, many years ago, I was working one day in Cairo before I came out. And I took just during the break, I went to make a phone call. And I was not carrying any ID on me. And just the security personnel, because I was a foreigner, they asked me about my permanent status, whether I got the right papers. I couldn't find anything, and they wouldn't believe me if I was going to ask them to come with me to my workplace, to the school where I was working. They wouldn't listen to that. Just straight away, I got into the car, going to the detention center. And as we got there, afternoon, so that place was full, the place I was going to go for ordinary people. So I was put with the political prisoners. We were running from their governments in the Arab world. And you guess, those people were writers, were poets, they were politicians, highly intellectual people. Few of them from Syria. Even there was a guy from Libya, and that guy, I don't know how he got there. He was not a scholar or anything. He was just like an ordinary person, and every person was abusing him in that small cell. when I got there, he got bruised and someone punched him in his face. And when I got there, when I saw that, I didn't like that at all. And then there were two Sudanese guys there, and they recognized me, and they said, "Oh, Pastor," they called me Pastor. So we came together, and we were sitting together. And this guy, he came to be with us. And then just 15 minutes later, I just fell asleep. Because I was so tired, I don't know why. And it's a small cell. And then when I got up, there was this guy from Syria by name Mamoun Bursan, a writer, a scholar. And I started to share with him the gospel. And we went through the night, and we were sharing Isaiah 53. And because this man, he was running from a cruel government, because he was not representing himself. He was speaking for the right of the people of Syria. He could see the abuse. He could see the injustice. He was running, not for him. And when I read with him these verses, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Surely he took up our infirmities," verse 4, "and carried our sorrows. Yet we consider him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted." He pulled out his pen and he wrote these verses. And he marveled at these words because he could identify himself with Christ. Because Christ was not suffering for his own. He was suffering for us. He was suffering for us. So all this will be fulfilled. And they were fulfilled. He was delivered to the leaders. That you will read that in Luke 2, 22, 47 to 53. The verdict that he was a criminal, that he was guilty in our place. You read that from 23, 50 to 56. He was delivered to Pilate. You read that in the same verses. And also about his victorious resurrection. That is 24. Just imagine if all that Jesus said here were not going to happen. And then the promises of God wouldn't come forth true. He went through all this to you, to save you and to save me. Let us move on. Also, we see, as Jesus suffers this crucifixion, in verse 32 to 33, we see that as he is handed over to the Gentiles, a reference to the Roman Empire's authorities, as they spit on him, flog him, and kill him, we see that all these activities, Jesus actually overcame the worst of human sin. You may think those activities of this suffering, they were just so normal. These were extraordinary. Those actions of the Gentiles, they were sufficient. They were sufficient to quench the wrath of God and also to release us into the blessings. Jesus took this punishment upon himself. He was able to overcome sin for us. Because now he who suffers in his body, who has lived in sin, should not go on living in sin anymore. Because Christ has suffered in our place. And all that sufferings brought us salvation. Is enough for us. So you and I can overcome sin today. Because Jesus overcame He overcame those very aspects which brought us bondages, the sin. But God caused him to go as a lamb for us. And then Jesus also predicted that he will rise on the third day. And his resurrection, we know, is for our justification, that his work has been complete. So Jesus was warning his disciples. And for you and I today, what is the most important things that we can take from this, that we apply to our lives today? What can we take from this? Well, the promises of God didn't stop here. There are a lot of promises also to be fulfilled, isn't it? And if God fulfills these promises for us, and we have this salvation because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ as he suffered, and then also he has promised that he is going to return because we are still suffering. So if you can't believe this, and then you can't believe the other promises that are not yet fulfilled. But we have proved that God is faithful, is true to his promises. All that has been written about Christ before he came and as he came and as he will come, they are true. All that has been written about Christ. Today, if people want to go off and do their own things, if they want to do that, the first thing they want to do, they want to depart from all that has been written, the written word of our God. Because these are the promises of God, and they speak of him and who he is and what he is going to do in this world and to do for us who are his people. So the suffering of Christ brought us victory as well. So he endures the mockery, shameful treatment, all these things, so that our salvation could be complete. And let me move to say in the last verse, the disciples did not understand any of this. Well, today perhaps you don't understand this. Because this, for you to understand, requires divine enabling to understand its significance. The disciple couldn't see that. As Jesus was stricken on the cross of Calvary, as the blood and water fled or flew from his side, that brought us salvation and forgiveness from God. And for the disciple to understand this, that requires God's divine work and grace in their hearts. And even today also, this requires the supernatural work of God in your heart, in my heart, to see that these things that have been written about Christ are truly can transform our life now. It requires God's works. That is why no one can do it. It doesn't matter how much I preach, how hard I preach, and how long I preach, and how beautiful I preach, or how bad I preach. Actually, God's divine power to show you the fact that Christ Jesus is my son, suffered in your place. And if you believe him, you will have eternal life and no punishment and judgment that will come upon you. Of course, the disciple couldn't understand that. And many people in our day today don't understand this. They can't know the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Like Apostle Paul, who said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. The disciples, John, Peter and John, they knew his power. We have nothing, silver and gold we don't have. But we give you what we have, the name of Jesus Christ. Because has been exalted in the name that is above every other name. At his name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess him. And so Jesus, by predicting these things, telling his disciples, he was telling them like these things were written. All these which were written We're going to make God God to fulfill his promises, plans. Because if God's plans are not fulfilled, and then we will be in danger. We will be in trouble. And also, if that God Jesus did, if the suffering of Christ, the mockery and the spitting did not really satisfy God's wrath, we will remain guilty. We will remain before God guilty. But there was enough. He suffered enough so that we will not suffer again. And lastly, all the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection requires that God works by his Holy Spirit to show you how much God loves you, that he will keep his promises through centuries to fulfill them in his Son Jesus Christ, so that you can be delivered from your sin and escape the judgment that is to come. All that you need is to cry out to God and open your heart if you are not a believer. And if you are a believer, this should bring to you an assurance that the work of Christ is sufficient for you. His suffering, his death, and his resurrection set you free and mark you out of sinners as a righteous man who is having a right stand before God. And this has nothing to do with your struggles, isn't it? We will all struggle, but our strugglings does not really limit God's sovereign work that he has accomplished in Christ. So our troubles are just momentary, are just for now. There will be no tears when Christ returns. There will be no sickness. There will be no pain. We will all be free and go with Christ our Lord into eternal life. So all that has been written about Christ has to be fulfilled, and we will see the history unfolding. All that he was doing, he was just warning his disciples. He was telling them that really natural religion is dangerous. Just like a life that is devoid of suffering and pains, that is not what God was for. That does not really, it's not what we should be seeking. And that was the warning for disciples, because the disciples were just becoming cozy and they wouldn't want their Lord to go. We know that he said to Peter, "Behind me is Satan," because Peter was trying to stop Jesus from going there. But Jesus knew that this action, this journey, this trip to Jerusalem, that is the ultimate work of God, the fulfillment of all that has been written. And my question for you today is, do you really cherish and hold dear to your heart the promises of God, all that has been written about Christ, that he was going to do for you, that he was going to make you righteous, that he is going to forgive your sins if you only believe in him? Do you believe that the suffering that Christ suffered really removed all your sins completely? If you believe in him, there's no single sin that God will count against you. Nothing. You may think you are not good. You don't have to be good, because you are not good. We are not good in ourselves. But do you believe that Jesus took upon himself our ugliness, our sins, our rebellions, and all these things? He was punished in our place. Do you believe that? Do you believe that today you can walk out as a blameless person with all the things that you have committed, that actually you can be set free? Do you rely on his Holy Spirit? Do you rely on his grace in your walk now to that time? Do you? Jesus was inviting his disciples to prepare for that event. And we will see these events unfolding, being fulfilled completely. But Jesus now, what he is doing, he's just predicting them. And he himself is a faithful Savior. All that he said here will be exactly fulfilled. You wouldn't find anyone like that in the human history. No one ever fulfills his promises like Jesus. Just exactly what he said. And even today, God, Jesus is speaking to people. And all that he has spoken to you through his Spirit will be fulfilled. Will be fulfilled. I was speaking with my friend yesterday in Egypt, Lee. If you saw when I was going through ordination, the guy who was playing guitar 20 years ago with his wife. And we were talking about really heavenly things, territorial spirits, things really that are forces that are at work. So today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Keep believing, keep trusting. Rejoice in him and glorify Christ because he has finished the work. Trust and obey. Just walk before him. Do not turn right or left. Do not look to man. Man is mortal. Man is weak. But look to Christ. He is the supreme Lord and Savior and Master whose work goes from now to eternity. All that he has begun in your life, filling you with his Holy Spirit, declaring you righteous, no one can ever bring you and to make you again a captive and a sinner. Hallelujah. Are you rejoicing in this wonderful news that all that has been written about Christ is to be fulfilled in our lives? Because what Jesus was doing, I know, I'm just dragging on. What? But it's just like, yeah. But all that he said was to bring us to a position where we knew that we have been truly blessed. We have been truly redeemed because God has fulfilled that has been written. Actually, not Jesus said about me for us. All that was written about him was for us. Let us rise together. Lord Jesus, we want to pray that we may experience, Lord God, the life that you have purchased for us. We want to pray, Lord our God, that all that have been written about you for us is to bring us to an assurance of salvation, of your love, of your deliverance, of your grace. We pray, Lord, as it was hard for the disciples to understand all these things, Lord, we wonder, even our days today, there are those who find it so difficult to believe that mockery and spitting on a person like Jesus would bring us this wonderful deliverance and salvation. Father in heaven, we pray that you may work by your Holy Spirit in our hearts, O Lord God, to cause us just not only to say, I believe in this, but Lord, to experience the liberating power of the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant us, O Lord, to walk in this, because you have called us only to walk in the victory you have won for us. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.